علامة الإيمان. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت. والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الله به الغمة، فجزاه الله عنا ما خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher, the sustainer, and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him. Nobody is worthy of being called the names of greatness except Him. Nobody is worthy of being called the creator of all except Him, the provider of all except Him, the knowing of the all-knowing except Him, the Almighty except Him. Nobody deserves these names in heavens and earth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a specific purpose, for a specific mission, for a specific wisdom. He put us on earth. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angel by saying, I am creating a representation on earth. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. A representation. What kind of representation is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manners. His manners are described in the attributes of beauty that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He's generous, He's kind. He is wadood, seeking the love of the ones that have lower status than Him without having any need to them. He's just seeking their love because of His nature subhanahu wa ta'ala as al-wadood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take these names of beauty and apply them in our life as real life principles that we use to deal with one another. He's generous, He wants us to be generous with one another. He is kind, He wants us to be kind with one another. He is the most fair and just, and He wants us to be fair and just with one another. He is the most forgiving, and He wants us to forgive one another. These names of beauty, these names are for us to implement on earth, which are called the manners of Allah, akhlaqullah. And we need to implement this on earth. That's part of the, if we want to have a good representation, we implement the manners of Allah on earth. For any representation, it's either a good representation or a bad representation. And of course, those who do the good representations are the ones who are being rewarded. The ones who do the bad representation are the ones who are going to be punished. The representation, the bad representation, is representing the manners of the Satan on earth, which is to conduct our earthly business and to establish on earth the principles, the manners of the shaitan, which is to make the decision based on selfishness, based on greed, based on materialistic interest, based on oil, based on profit, you know, materialistic profits and gains. If the decision is made based on that, if this is our criteria for making decisions, and if this is the highest value of the society that we live in, or the highest value that we establish on earth, materialistic benefit, then we are doing a shaitan representation. But if the decision is made based on justice, based on moral values, based on wishing for others what you wish for yourself, then this is the good representation. So we have good representation, we have bad representation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the names of greatness as well. Now the names of greatness are different from the names of beauty. The names of beauty are His manners that we need to implement on earth. The names of greatness are unique for him. Nobody can claim to him or herself these names of greatness. Hands off. Okay? Only Allah deserves the names of greatness. Only him in heavens and earth is the creator of all. If anybody tries to share these names of greatness with Allah, Allah will break him down without caring about him. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of the Prophet in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Al-Azamatu ridai wal-kibriya'u izari man naza'ani fihima qasamtuhu wa la ubali. Greatness is my gown, glory is my clothes, whomsoever tries to share them with me, I break him and I don't care. So no one can dare to share this with Allah. But the purpose of our creation is to do our earthly business using heavenly manners. To conduct the earthly business on earth using the heavenly manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you go along the Quran, you find Allah explaining that in different ways, in different styles. So if you don't get it one way, you get it another way. If you don't get it the second way, you get it the third way. Okay? If you don't get إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am creating a representation on earth from Surah Al-Baqarah. If you don't get that from Surah Al-Baqarah, then you're going to get it from Surah Al-Dhariyat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I created jinn kind and mad kind for no other reason except worshipping me and being submissive to me. Why? Because while you are doing the God representations, while you are conducting your earthly business using heavenly manners, you will be submissive to Allah and you will be worshipping Allah. So Allah brings it in a different angle so that the one who doesn't get it from Khalifa, I'm creating representation to my manners on earth, he will get it from I created mankind and jinnkind for no other reason to worship me, which is in Surah Al-Dhariyat. One in Surah Al-Baqarah, one in Surah Al-Dhariyat. Then if you don't get it from either Al-Baqarah or Al-Dhariyat, then you will get it from Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. I have offered the trust, which is the purpose of our creation, is to maintain that trust, is to keep this trust and not to betray the trust. I have given the trust to heavens, earth, mountains, and they all refuse to carry it. I have offered the earth, you want to carry that responsibility, you have a free will, and you are being trusted with control over natural resources, you're being trusted with freedom to choose where to go and what to say and what to do, you will be trusted with that, and you are required to use that trust to do your earthly business using heavenly manners. Do you want to accept mountains? Ya Allah, no, that's too much risk. What if we fail? We don't want to accept it. Heavens, do you want to accept it? Ya Allah, no, how dare? I mean, I can't dare to accept it. What if I fail? I don't want to. They have to deal with failure. And then who accepted that? Us, the humans. For we are ignorant. We don't know what are we bringing to ourselves. When we disobey Allah, we don't know whom we are disobeying. We don't know what are bringing, what kind of punishment we are bringing to ourselves. And this is why the Prophet says, the one who does something haram, he is ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He did injustice to him or herself. Why? What kind of injustice? Because whatever gains or benefits you're getting from the disobedience, it is no comparison to the price that you're going to pay in the day of judgment, which is, you know, a very severe punishment from Allah. So you did really, very, it's very bad deal for you to get that little enjoyment or benefit and then suffer later from paying the price, which is a very heavy price later, that you did injustice to yourself. So Allah, if you don't get it from that, if you don't understand the meaning of the trust, and to give you a simplified example about the meaning of the trust, and Allah is way better, and Allah is way above and beyond any simplified examples, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. If you have two slaves, and then you raised them up, and you fed them, and you cared for them, and you really, you know, you picked them up, they were abandoned next to the trash. And you pick them up, and you give them the best care, and the best education, and you really take care of, took care of them, very well care of them. And then when they grew up, you told them, okay, now I am going to give you, I'm going to trust you, okay, with 3 days of freedom, where during those 3 days you choose where to go, what to say, and what to do. And along with these 3 days, I will give you a car and $3,000. So I've trusted you with time, which is 3 days. I've trusted you with resources, which is car and $3,000. I've trusted you with the freedom during these 3 days. I am not going to compel you and force you what to do. I will let you choose for yourselves what to do. But here what I want. I want you to use the money and the time and the car to go do Hajj. To go to Hajj or to go do Umrah. Okay? That's what I want. Now, I will let you go out of the cage. Now show me what you're going to do. One guy will take the money and the car and drives to Mecca, performs the Umrah. Okay? And exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him or her to do. On the other guy, he will take the car and go to Las Vegas. And then after gambling and losing the $3,000 in Las Vegas, then he sells the car and he loses the money of the car. So the 3 days are wasted in Las Vegas, following the manners of the shaitan. The 3 days, the $3,000 are wasted in Las Vegas, and the 3 days are wasted in Las Vegas. Then both Allah would send the angel of death to arrest both and bring them to his court. You are under arrest by the angel of death and brought back to Allah. You are back into the cage. You are back under the control, the full control of Allah, without any room for you to have a free will. We're always under the control of Allah. But this control could be without any free will, without any room for you, without any small gap for you to choose where to go and what to do and what to say. Or this control could be with this gap, which is the free will. You know, it is, if I may use this simplified example to show you the difference. If there is a king and there is a prime minister, the king, the will of the king, and the orders of the king, the will of the king is independent. Nobody will question the king. The king can make any decision what he wants. Nobody can question him. Nobody above the king to judge him. Okay? But the prime minister, the freedom of the prime minister is given to him by the king. So the king can take that freedom anytime. Not only that, but the king is reviewing the decisions made by the prime minister, and he may choose to let the prime minister get what he wants, or he may choose to stop the prime minister from having what he wants. Okay? So his will is a slave of the will of the king. It is based on the will of the king. The will of the king is more superior to his will. And that's exactly our example. Where we want, you want, he wants, أَنْتَ تُرِيدُ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. He wants, you want, and she wants. You might all want the same thing. There might be a conflict between what you want and what he wants. Whatever you want, at the end Allah will choose. Who gets what he or she wants, and how much he gets, and how much is the distribution, or you all might not get what you want, and somebody else will get it. It's up to Allah. But you have the freedom to want whatever you want. And try to get it, good luck. Okay? And at the end, this authority is given to you by Allah. You want something, it will be reviewed by Allah, and then Allah decides if you get it or you don't get it. So, think of it that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is how the two mashi'ah, the two wills fit together. To those among you who will to follow guidance, who wants to follow guidance, who wants righteousness, they get this. And then the next verse Allah says, but you can never get what you want without the will of Allah. So your will is the slave of Allah. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. To the ones who will to follow righteousness. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you will never be able to will. To start with, you will never be able to will. And you will never have the authority to will. Unless Allah will grant you this authority, unless Allah will allow you to will, unless Allah to start with made you, so that, and gave you the freedom, and gave you whatever space you're living in, so that you will what you want to will. So, Allah sends those angel of death, this angel of death, to bring both of these two slaves back into his court. And now they lost this gap of freedom. They are back under the full control of Allah without any gap to them to make decisions or to choose, without any gap of representation. The gap that Allah gives to us so that we can do the representation that He's asking us to do. So now, how Allah is going to deal with them? Is He going to make equal the one who went to Las Vegas with the one who went for Umrah? If He does that, then where is the wisdom? Then where is the fairness? I mean, if I have a judge who's going to make equal the bad guys and the good guys, what kind of judge is that? What kind of judge is that? I mean, this judge is not only a corrupt judge, but he is a judge that is going to turn our life into hell. If the good guys come to his court and the bad guys come to his court and all end up the same, all end up 6 foot underground and that's it. No day of judgment to reward the good guys and to punish the bad guys. After all this life, after all these good deeds by the good guys, after all these bad deeds by the bad guys, both end up 6 foot underground and that's it. This judge will ruin our life. We need a judge who knows what he's doing, so that but when the criminals are punished and when the good guys are rewarded, then our life would be straight life. We will not have a corrupt life, because the bad guys will corrupt our life if they don't receive the punishment, and the good guys will be victims, and the good guys will be actually idiots. Because why do I have to sacrifice precious time, money and effort? Why do I have to fight my selfishness and greed? Why do I have to control my lower desires and temptations? Why? Give me one reason. If at the end I'm going to end up 6 foot underground, just like the bad guys, then let me enjoy my temptations then. You know what? What's the quickest way to get rich? Who cares about moral values? Who cares about the representation of the manners of Allah on earth? You know? And that's why the pillars of Islam, by the way, if you're talking to an atheist, you can simply convince him with many pillars of faith. One of them is that pillar of faith, which is number 5, which is the day of judgment. How? Exactly this way that I explained. And add to that, that if you ask him to look at the universe and then tell him the maker of this great universe, can he be that bad? Can he be bad enough to let the good guys and the bad guys be equal? I mean, can't. I mean, what we see around us from this huge, wonderful universe does not indicate that the maker of this universe can be that bad. So that is one point that you can use. Another point, which is the pillar number 6 of faith, which is to submit to the will of Allah, to submit to the decisions made by Allah. That one is very easy, because when somebody loses his wife and children in a car accident, his beloved wife and his beloved children, that person becomes so sad and grieving. Now, if they don't take this person to counsel his grieving, to grieving management classes, so that they teach him and they counsel him how to express and let out the sadness and grieving without committing suicide, without killing himself, because it's so much pain. You can't believe how much pain it is to lose your beloved wife and children suddenly. So when they take those people to grieving classes, the first thing they try to convince them with is that you have to submit to the will of the higher power. That is the first thing they try with those, the first principle they teach those people, so that they know how to manage the sadness. They tell them, they don't say God, because God is politically incorrect to them. It is. Some people are offended when you say God. So they make it indirect by saying, you have to submit yourself to the will of the higher power. Higher power could be Jesus, could be God, could be Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it. You have to submit yourself to the will of the higher power. Obviously, there is a higher power. Obviously, this higher power decides what happens. And it's not up to you. And you have to submit yourself to the will of this higher power. If you don't submit yourself to the will of the higher power, you're destroying yourself. You're going to commit suicide. Okay, if you don't accept the decisions made by the higher power, you're going to bang your head against the wall, for, you know, and then nothing will change. Nothing will change. The will of the higher power is superior to your will, and you're not going to get your wife and children back. So the smart believer will do from day number one what the non-believer will do from day number 30. The non-believer might keep rejecting the decisions made by Allah and banging his or her head against the wall. No, I don't accept that. I don't want that. 30 days. Day 31, he or she have to submit to the will of the higher power, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, take 90 days. Day 91, they will have to submit. But the smart believer will submit from day number one. Gets the reward and gets to manage the sadness and the grieving so that he doesn't destroy himself. So that's another pillar of Islam, the pillar of faith that can be taught to those guys. Of course, not to mention that every car, every product has a maker. And by examining the product, you can learn about the maker. And by examining the book of created universe, this whole created universe and the wonders and the balance, the accurate balance and the miracle in this universe, then you can figure out something about the maker of this universe. It cannot make itself. It's nonsense. Now, all those can be used as techniques. And the prophets of Allah are the teachers who teach us how to establish the good representation on earth. And the book of Allah are the textbooks used by those teachers. Every teacher has a textbook, and the prophets of Allah have these textbooks coming to them down from Allah, where they use it to teach people, and after they die, they leave it to people who seek guidance and who seek inspiration to get inspired by these books. And here we go. We're done with the six pillars of faith. Believing in the angels. Angels are servants to Allah. Any mighty powerful king will have servants, because it's a sign of glory. It's a sign of power. It's that this mighty king has servants everywhere. Okay. Now, why wouldn't you think that Allah, the mighty powerful king, would have servants? I mean, if any king will have servants, not that the king needs the servants, but because it is a sign of glory and power and greatness, why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have servants, which are the angels? So, going back to the purpose of life, if you don't get it from Surah Al-Baqarah, representation on earth, you get it from Surah Al-Dhariyat, I created you to worship me. If you don't get it from Surah Al-Dhariyat, I've created you to worship me, you get it from Surah Al-Ahzab, Inna aradna al-amana, we have offered the trust to heavens and earth. What if you get it from those, if you don't understand what is the representation, if you don't understand what does it mean to worship, if you don't understand what does it mean that you are being trusted, al-amana. Then you get it from so many other places. In Surah Al-Shams, it is spelled out in an easier way. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And the soul that he has created. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He inspired it both. He made both the good side and the dark side. He created both. Both the good side and dark side are intrinsic into our human existence. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He is a winner, the one who takes the good side and promote the good side and make it grow and grow and grow. And come to the bad side and oppress the bad side and make it shrink, shrink, shrink. And that is the winner, which is Zakkaha. How about the opposite, which is Dassaha, are the ones who takes the bad side and make it grow, grow, or allow the bad side to grow, 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 and oppress and ridicule the good side and say, shrink, shrink, shrink. Then that person is the one who does the saha, and that person is the loser. You got it? No, I didn't get it yet. What do you mean by good side and bad side? Okay, let's go to Surah Al-Isra. You don't get it from there, you get it from Surah Al-Isra. What is Surah Al-Isra? مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Okay, here is a simplified, more simplified version of the purpose of life. if you are interested into the hereafter, you have your interest is focused on pleasing Allah and earning Jannah, you're interested in Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a winner and give you Jannah. If you, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, you want Jannah, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and you do the righteous deeds required for you to go to Jannah. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, you do it because you're motivated by faith, which is three motivations: love of Allah, very strong desire to go to Jannah, very strong fear from the punishment of Allah. فَأُولَئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Then this is the one who are going to be the winners, who have done the good representation on earth. Then what is the bad representation? مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ, somebody who is not interested in Jannah. He calls Jannah pie in the sky. You know, pie in the sky. You know, something, hello, where is Jannah? You're talking about dreams, you're talking about imagination. It's a fiction. Pie in the sky. He doesn't want Jannah. If you tell him Jannah, he says, I don't want Jannah, man. I don't want Jannah. Okay, so he doesn't want Jannah. Then what do he want? He wants this life, the pleasures of this life. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ, the pleasures of this life and the business and the monetary values and the fun and the entertainment, and that's all what he wants. Whether it is halal entertainment or haram entertainment, it doesn't matter to him. Whether it is halal money or haram money, it doesn't matter much to him. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ, then what Allah will do? Allah will do this. This is how Allah will respond to this desire. عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ, we are not going to give that person everything that he wants. Okay? We're going to give him part of what he wants. عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ, and not all those people who want dunya will get dunya. We're going to pick some of them and give them dunya, and others who want dunya and die for dunya, and they are not going to get it. Okay? And from those whom we picked to give dunya, we're not going to give them everything they want, we'll give them only part of they want. Just a small part, whatever we desire, whatever I will. And you might wonder and say, okay, why Allah, if I want dunya, why isn't He giving me dunya? Many, many reasons. Number one, if every bad guy gets dunya, then all people will be motivated to be bad guys. Okay, so that's why Allah made it separate. Okay, to be a non-believer doesn't mean you'll become rich. Okay, so otherwise, if Allah would do that, Allah said in Surah Az-Zukhruf that the entire humanity would turn into non-believers. Okay, وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقَفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. If it wasn't that I know that يَكُونُ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً means the whole entire humanity on earth, the entire population of earth will be one kafir nation. One nation that is kafir nation. If it wasn't because of that, I would have given the ones who commits the action of kufr, denying me the attributes of greatness, or living their life in a way that indicates denial of my attributes of greatness, or treating others the way they are treating me, begging others for their needs the way we beg Allah for our needs, or expecting the fulfillment of their needs from others the way we expect the fulfillment of our needs from Allah. If it wasn't that Allah knew that everybody on earth would be an unbeliever, He would have given those guys, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبِيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ, He would give them wonderful homes. The ceiling of this home will be made of silver. And the recliners are big old recliners. And He will give them everything they want. But number one, Allah does not want to make it a prize to the ones who make kufr. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster. And the second wisdom, that Allah does not give everyone who's interested in this life everything he wants, or He might not give him anything at all, is that Allah wants to limit the evil on earth. Allah is Latif. Latif is the one who works in a very quiet way. That's the meaning of Latif. He works in the unseen world. You can't see him, you can't feel him, because he's Latif. You know, when the air comes, when somebody comes like that and you don't feel him, he's Latif. So that's the Arabic meaning of the word Latif. Allah's Latif means He's working behind the scene. You don't feel Him, but He's working. He is Latif to do what? To do good things. Among the good things that He's Latif in doing is He mitigates evil. That Allah knows that the desire of evil in the heart, okay, enough to destroy the earth several times. We have enough evil in our hearts. We want enough evil to destroy the earth. But Allah wants to let out an amount of evil that is enough to test us, but not to destroy the earth. So Allah will let out from these evil desires only enough to put us in a test and to make us taste the punishment or the sequences, the consequences of the bad deeds we do, but not to destroy our earth. So He mitigates evil. How? By not giving the evil people the power they need. Somebody, how many Hitlers are they? I can assure you that the heart of Hitler, okay, if you take out the heart of Hitler and examine it, you can find about millions of other hearts that are either equal to as bad as the heart of Hitler or worse. However, who gets the powers of Hitler? Only one of them. Okay, if all of them get the powers of Hitler, the earth would be doomed. That's it. The earth would be doomed. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limits the evil. However, at the end, all those Hitlers are judged in the day of judgment exactly the same way. You might not believe me. I will tell you the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that confirms that. That there are four kinds of people in this life. The first kind is a man that Allah gave him knowledge and money. So he's employing his money to do the good representation on earth. To conduct the earthly business using heavenly manners. To promote the heavenly manners. Okay? And the other one is a poor man that Allah has given him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him knowledge and faith, but not money. And again, for the same reason. So that if Allah will make all believers rich, then people, when somebody is becoming a believer, then I will question him. I ask, are you a believer because you want to be rich? Or are you a believer because you love Allah and you're interested in Jannah? Okay? There will be no test if when you become a believer, you become rich. So that's why Allah is not giving all believers money and making them rich. However, this guy, Allah made him poor and he's a believer. And this guy, Allah made him rich and he's a believer. This guy, the second guy, he has a strong desire in his heart. That he wishes that if he gets as much money as the first guy, he would have done exactly like the first guy. Then the Prophet used his two fingers and says, فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْلِ سَوَاءٌ. They are equally rewarded. The poor and the rich. Why? Because they have similar hearts. They have similar hearts. But Allah prevented the poor one from spending like the rich one by not giving him what he wants. Why? Because Allah doesn't want people to feel that when you become a believer, you become rich. So He made it independent. You become a believer, you become an unbeliever, it has nothing to do with being rich and poor. He made it that way for that reason. Okay? Then, on the other two kinds, is a bad guy, a rich guy. He's ignorant guy. He's ignorant about Allah. He doesn't know Allah. He doesn't know what Allah is expecting from him. And then this guy is having a lot of money. So he's spending his money for corruption. He's spending his money to promote the manners of the shaitan. And then the fourth guy is a bad guy but poor. And that poor guy is saying, I wish I have as much money as the rich bad guy, so that I will do exactly like what he or she did. The Prophet said, فَهُمَا فِي الْإِثْمِ سَوَاءٌ. They are equally sinful. The sins are equal to both of those. And on the top of that, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people before you have done to the prophets exactly what those guys are doing to you, for their hearts are similar. Those hearts are similar to these hearts. تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. They have exactly the same heart. The only difference is just the time and the scenario. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللي داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين، أعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين، انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين، إذن لشريعتك أن تحكم الدنيا يا كريم. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بمعروف وينهى فيه عن منكر. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. ادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم وفك أسر سجنائهم وتقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة. For the good representation, the Prophet asked us not to leave gaps between us, neither between our bodies during the prayer, nor between our hearts. For the shaitan fills up these gaps, whether they are heart gaps or body gaps.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والسماء بنيناها بأيدي وإنا لموسعون والأرض فرشناها فنعم الماهدون ومن كل شيء خلقنا زوجين لعلكم تذكرون ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين ولا تجعلوا مع الله إلها آخر إني لكم منه نذير مبين كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسول إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون أتواصوا به بل هم قوم طاغون فتول عنهم فما أنت بملوم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن يريد. ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا. ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. كلا نمد هؤلاء وهؤلاء من عطاء ربك وما كان عطاء ربك محظورا. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. دكتور علي وليد حلم ربنا إن شاء الله حلم المغرب. المغرب أذان إن شاء الله will be 6:45 المغرب. Prayer the Adhan time is 6:55. He will start inshallah immediately after المغرب. Also, a group of Dawood group inshallah will visit Wetumpka prisoners tomorrow after Fajr inshallah to celebrate with them Eid al-Fitr. If you would like, please share them with some food they would like to take with them. Everybody is invited to get a dish of food to for them to take with them. Assalamu alaikum.
You mean about tomorrow after Fajr? Or?
No, the Dawood group,
inshallah, we go Asr time. But tomorrow after Fajr, there's another lesson, inshallah. And the theme is going to be about the beef and the milk that we can get out of Surah Al-Baqarah. And Surah Al-Baqarah, the theme of Surah Al-Baqarah, the main topic is the representation on earth, the khilafah of the Prophet. So it is the guide of good representation. And there's a lot of beef and milk that we can get out of Surah Al-Baqarah. It's going to be inshallah. If you want to get the milk, if you want to get the beef, show up after Maghrib inshallah. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Our school program will start this Sunday after school. If you have a child 5 years old or 5 years or older, bring him 10 o'clock morning this Sunday. We'll start our school program.
Let's say